Reds and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all having a tremendous day. Hey, by the way, Valentine's Day is coming up, and it's time for you to get yourself in a situation where you're not going to be in the doghouse. The staff at Jimmy's Flowers can create something for you or get one of their ready-to-go arrangements for any budget. Jimmy's Flowers, with stores in Bountiful, Layton, or Ogden, or online at jimmysflowers.com. Make sure you order early. It's jimmysflowers.com.
They're a memorable bouquet.
Yes.
It's memorable flowers. It's impactful for those amazing women in your lives, and men too.
Have you ever gotten flowers?
No. I was going to try to lie and say yes, but no, I haven't.
Okay.
But if I did, I'd be like, hey, that's awesome.
That would be interesting, for sure.
Wouldn't shake a stick at it.
No, not at all. All right, one of the more memorable weekends of NFL football that we've ever seen. Frank Schwab, kind enough to join us to help break it down. Frank, how you doing?
Hey, Frank.
How
you doing? Hey,
Frank. Great, how you guys doing?
We're still trying to regroup after what we saw. So let's start with Kansas City and Buffalo. There's so many different aspects to this game, but 13 seconds, you should not be able to get off a high quality field goal attempt that Kansas City did with 13 seconds, right? Come on, that's ridiculous.
It is, and I just heard this, and I think it's true. I mean, based on there's only been twice in NFL history that a team has kicked off with less than 20 seconds left in the lead and ended up losing the game, and both times were the Buffalo Bills. The first time, the Music City Miracle, and then this one. Yeah, I mean, and you wonder, and this is what's been going on in my head. I mean, obviously the Bills misplayed this. They probably should have squib kicked. They should have played a regular defense. The prevent did not work for them. But I wondered if Tyreek Hill's touchdown just before that was in the back of their minds. Like, they're like, we can't have them outrun the rest of our team. We need to, just kick it out of the end zone. That way nobody can break a 90-yard touchdown run or, a kickoff return. Or, when they're playing that really, really soft prevent, they're thinking, well, we'll just keep it in front of us so Tyreek Hill doesn't catch a crosser again and beat us to the house. Like, I just think that affected their – even if it wasn't said out loud, I think that affected the way they called the last three plays that game, the regulation, including the kickoff, and it bit them. It really did. And I just, more than anything, honestly, I don't even feel like happy for Chiefs fans. Although they're great fans, I just feel bad for Bills fans because they've been waiting so long. They had a team that really, if they win last night, they're favored for a Super Bowl, and it's not even close. And to give it away like they did is just so heartbreaking. And there's no guarantee they get back. Look, we like to think that like Mahomes and Josh Allen are going to play in the playoffs the next 10 years. There's no guarantee with that. There's no guarantee with anything year to year in the NFL. So I hope the Bills get back. I really do. But if they don't, man, Bills fans are just going to remember those last 13 seconds of overtime for forever, really.
Do you think the NFL is hearing all the criticism in regards to the overtime, the way it's conducted, and the fact that Josh Allen did not get another possession?
I don't. I'm alone on this, but I don't mind overtime. I really don't. I thought the old way of just getting field goal range and kick a long field goal and we're done, I thought that was too easy. But I don't think it's too much to ask for an NFL defense to say, okay, stop them from getting in the end zone. Your quarterback gets the ball. If the Buffalo Bills are at number one defense in the NFL this year by some metrics, if you could just hold them to a field goal, Josh Allen gets the ball. But they didn't do their jobs. Like, and nothing's ever going to be totally fair for the people who are like, we'll give each team one possession and then start sudden death. Okay, well, the Chiefs score, the Bills score, the Chiefs score. The Chiefs had two overtime possessions and the Bills had one. What's fair about that? Like, why is that a fair solution? So you're never going to come up with a perfectly fair way that you have to take into account player safety at some point. You can't play 10 overtimes. You just can't do it. At some point, a game has to end in the NFL. And so knowing there's no fair way to do this, I don't think it's unreasonable to tell an NFL defense, hey, keep them out of the end zone, your quarterback gets the ball, a chance to win the game. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I was totally fine with the way it went down, honestly, last night. I just have a hard time, again, feeling like the Buffalo Bills got the short end of the stick and they were treated unfairly because, A, could have kept them out of the end zone in overtime, or B, you could have made one of two stops in the last 2 minutes of regulation, too.
Well, and that's kind of where I'm at, too, because there was no doubt that whoever won that coin toss really felt like it was going to win that game because both defenses were gassed. And so whoever won that coin toss was probably going to go down and score a touchdown and win the game. With that said, just because that was the case for that one individual game, I don't know if that's warrants making a complete blanket statement, you know, wide, you know, massive change to how overtime. I love the fact that, as you mentioned, a few years ago, they bumped it to a touchdown instead of a field goal. I think that was the right thing to do, and I think it's probably the best system in place.
Yeah, and I, again, if you have to have an eye, you know, whenever you give me any solution for overtime, you have to have an eye on player safety too, because you just can't play eight overtimes. So just, you don't do that to NFL football players. And nobody's given me a solution that's absolutely fair. I mean, even like, well, play a full 15-minute quarter of overtime. I guess, like, that makes some sense to me, but at the same time, you're guaranteeing then that NFL teams are playing, anytime they go to overtime, they're playing a minimum of 75-minute game, and are tied at the end of the overtime, they're going to second overtime, and who knows how long that's going to go. So, I don't know. I think this is fine. I think, again, I'll keep saying it, I don't think it's unreasonable to tell an NFL team, hey, your defense needs to hold this team to less than a touchdown on this drive, and then you'll have a chance to win the game. I just don't see where that's unfair.
So I want to back up. I mean, you live in the Rocky Mountain area. I call games for Utah State, and so I watched a lot of Josh Allen as a collegiate player. And while it seemed like he had a lot of tools, he wasn't particularly accurate. I didn't really think he was a first-round quarterback just based on what I saw in the collegiate level. And now all of a sudden he's a superstar and was 13 seconds away from potentially going on to a Super Bowl run. Did you see this coming at all from Josh Allen?
Not even a little bit, no. I mean, I thought he could be good. Like, I thought he could have, I mean, ironically, I guess enough this weekend, a Matthew Stafford type of career where puts up good numbers, always is kind of flawed a little bit, never really does much. I guess, you know, Stafford's changing that narrative now. But I thought that kind of was Allen's upside. I didn't see this coming. And I give a ton of – it's all – look, I mean, the tools are always there. We saw him throw at the pro day and all that kind of stuff where he can throw the ball 80 yards. But this is a guy who I believe anyway was honorable mention All-Mountain West his last year. Like, yep. Brett Rippon was first team. Like, okay, like, it's hard to translate that to you're going to be one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL. It's just hard to make that leap. But – I think it's been two things in play. One, you have to give Josh Allen a tremendous amount of credit for being honest with himself and saying, I'm not good at these things. What do I need to do to get differently? I need to change my mechanics to be more accurate. I need to work on these things to become a better NFL quarterback. And then I think you give a ton of credit to Brian Daboll and the Bills offensive staff to say, you know what? We're gonna put this guy in position to get better. We're going to call plays that fit him, what he does. We're not going to ask him to be a misfit in whatever scheme we have. We're going to build our scheme around him. And I think the combination of those two things has really allowed him to thrive. I mean, it's like we like to think that every single NFL player is just working their hardest every single day to become the best they can be, when that sometimes it is the case. A lot of times it's the case, but not always the case. Or they don't know how to work on the things they need to work on, or they're too, you know, too confident in themselves and what they do well to think about the things they don't do well. And this is all Josh Allen to say, hey, look, I'm not an accurate quarterback. That's the number one thing I need to work on in my game. I'm going to totally overhaul what I do. I'm going to work on it every single day of the offseason. I'm going to get better. And now you see the results, and it's a really impressive transformation for him.
Moving on to the Bucs game, obviously another incredible game. The Rams find a way to get behind that Bucs defense in the closing seconds. And you've got Bruce Arians defending his defensive coordinator, saying that the cover zero was exactly what they wanted to do, but the players didn't blitz that were supposed to blitz. Is he just trying to defend his coach? Do you feel like he's throwing players under the bus? Did you feel like the cover zero was the right way to go?
No, absolutely not. I mean, and the one reason for that is his game situational. We saw Matt Gay, the Rams kicker, come up way short on a 47-yarder. I mean, I think he hurt himself pregame. I think that was the word. Obviously, he didn't have his range. So if you're the Rams, you know we got to get beyond the 30-yard line, maybe the 20-yard line, to give him a real shot at winning this game, because a kicker's not right. And the only way you're going to do that is if Cooper Kupp gets behind the defense and he's match up on a safety because you've run a cover zero. I hated the call. I just thought it was, you have certain identities as a team. Bruce Arians' teams have always been very aggressive, always foot on the gas, and I get it. I understand it. You don't want to be passive if you're an aggressive team. You don't want to be passive at the biggest moment of the game. But in that particular spot, and the only thing that beats you in that spot is exactly what happened. And I can't justify basically sending everybody when, and again, maybe if everybody gets the right call and they're all on the same page, they get enough pressure on Stafford where he never makes that throw, but it didn't happen. And at the end of the day, you had, basically Cooper Kupp running behind your defense when the one thing you couldn't give up was a deep, long play like that quickly. So, yeah, I hated the call, honestly. I just think that's the one thing you can't do in that spot.
Frank Schwab joining us, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, recapping a crazy weekend. But the fallout is going to be interesting as well. Try to climb inside the mind of Tom Brady. Do you think he comes back?
I do. I don't know. I think people have taken, like, his the fact that he hasn't committed, I think people have tried to extrapolate that and be like, well, that must mean he's retiring. I just think as a guy who, well, he's 44. He doesn't need to make a decision right now. He didn't look like a guy at the end. He didn't look like a dude who didn't have anything left. I mean, we knew Peyton Manning was going to retire after 2015 season, win or lose. Like, that was it. He was at the end of the line. Brady, if somebody voted Brady MVP, I would have no problem with that whatsoever. That's how good he was. So I don't see why, really, he'd retire. Like, everybody's like, well, he's got kids of this age, and Giselle wants him to retire. That's been the case for 6-7 years, and he hasn't retired. I do think he comes back, unless there's something lingering in the back of his mind where he doesn't want to be Peyton Manning in his last season. He doesn't want to be Joe Namath with the Rams. He wants to say, you know what, I tie a bow on my career right now, playing, probably going to finish second in the MVP voting. That's fine. Like, I've won everything. I've done everything. I'm not going to have that kind of lame season where he just throws for 22 interceptions and 10 touchdowns, and everybody's like, ooh, Brady stuck around 1 year too long. That would be a reason, and family stuff too, I'm sure factors in. But he, to be honest, doesn't look like a guy who's going to retire. It's just he hasn't said, I'm coming back, so everybody's kind of taken the next step on that.
Felt like there was nobody in the world more happy that the Buccaneers lost than Antonio Brown, obviously sending out that social media post and making fun of the situation. Would he have been the difference? He maybe in Godwin on the field. Did Tom Brady just lose too many weapons?
I think so. And, I mean, he still had guys. It's not like the cupboard was completely bare, but and Chris Godwin's top 15, maybe 10 receiver. And Antonio Brown, whatever anybody, including myself, might think of him, he's a Hall of Fame talent. There's no doubt. And so, yeah, it's just one. Look, the Buccaneers last year, when they went on that run late in the season, they rode a streak of injury luck that was amazing. Like, they really didn't lose anybody of note. It was bound to catch up to them. It happens in the NFL, and they had to deal with it, and it was a little too much for them. And even with all that, they still were tied with however many seconds left to go in that game and could have easily won. So, not a terrible season for them, obviously. But, yeah, I think injuries caught up to them.
All right. So Aaron Rodgers back in Green Bay. Is he playing for the Broncos? Where do you think he ends up?
I don't know, and I think my crazy opinion today is that I think there's a bigger chance Aaron Rodgers retires than Tom Brady. I don't know.
I see some truth to that.
Yeah, because I don't know. We're all playing amateur psychologists here. It seemed like Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not getting into the politics of it, but it seemed Aaron Rodgers was really interested in speaking about things that had nothing to do with football. Like, he almost had this epiphany of, I can be more than a football player. People listen to me, what I have to say about things other than football. And maybe that appeals to him. He's going to be 39, I believe. The Packers situation is way up in the air. They're $44 million over the cap, $48 million over the cap, whatever it is. Devontae Adams might not be back. But if you start over, like, okay, let's say you go to Denver. You're going to a team that's going to trade a lot for you. It's not going to be as good because they've traded a lot for you. You've got to learn a new coaching staff, new teammates. You got to live in a new place. Do you want to do that at age 40? I know it worked for Peyton in Denver. I know it worked for Tom in Tampa. But it's not easy. It's not a guarantee. So I wonder if he's just going to look at it and say, whatever, I just won back-to-back MVPs. I feel good. I've won a Super Bowl. Not as many as maybe people think he should have, but he's won a Super Bowl, so he's not chasing that. Maybe he just thinks, hey, I want to use this platform to talk about other things instead of football. And I don't know. I feel much more confident Brady's going to be back than I do whatever Rodgers is going to do, because I have no idea. I think staying with Green Bay, moving on to a different team, retirement, I think all three things are on the table, and any one of them wouldn't surprise me.
I'm a little bit worried, Frank, that the conference championship weekend is going to be whack with the matchups. The Rams look like they're going to destroy the Niners, and the Chiefs look like they're going to destroy the Bengals. Is there any potential in what you could foresee in there being an upset in either one of those championship games?
Oh, I think, of course. I think if the 49ers are healthy, that they beat the Rams twice. And they beat the heck out of them once. I mean, that Monday night game, they came back from 17-0 in Week 18. And again, the Rams should have felt they needed to win the NFC West. It wasn't a nothing game for the Rams. They were playing hard. And the 49ers came back, won that game. I don't see why. The 49ers do a lot of things that you like to see from teams in the postseason. They run the ball, they rush a quarterback, play great defense. I mean, they, for as much as we could talk about Aaron Rodgers coming up short, well, the 49ers defense had a lot to do with that. They played great. I think they could beat the Rams. I really do. I think they're totally live. I know Jimmy's not playing great, but he doesn't need to. Like, this team is not built around Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, they need him to once or twice every quarter get the ball to Deebo Samuel, get the ball to George Kittle, let them do their thing. He can do that. So I think they're live. And if I'm going to make a case for the Bengals, it would be this, and that's, there almost has to be a letdown for the Chiefs. The Chiefs left a lot on the field. And I'm dating myself with this, and most people out there probably don't remember it, but in 81, the San Diego Chargers played one of the greatest games of NFL history at the Orange Bowl against the Dolphins, double overtime, 41-38, and they had nothing left the next week in the AFC Championship game. And that was the Freezer Bowl in Cincinnati and all that kind of stuff. But they just had nothing left. And you wonder, the Chiefs just played one of the most emotional, crazy games you're ever going to see. Is there some letdown from that? And I think there could be. And in fact, the Bengals are a good quality football team. We just saw the Chiefs defense get torched by the Bills. Well, why can't the Bengals do that? Burrow's playing out of his mind. Jamar Chase might be a top 10 receiver already. T. Higgins, all those guys. So I think the Bengals can keep it close. But I do think the Rams, don't count out the Rams. They're playing really, really, really good football.
Regardless of what Jimmy Garoppolo does and how far the 49ers go, is he going to get Trent Dilfer and shown the door when this thing's all said and done?
I don't know. We were just talking about that, me and Charles Robinson, on our podcast last night, saying, what if Jimmy wins a Super Bowl? It's on the table. Like, that wouldn't be the craziest thing that's happened, even this NFL season. What if Jimmy Garoppolo wins a Super Bowl? Are you really going to just dump him at that point? What if he gets there and you win you lose a close game? Like, do you dump him then for Trey Lance, who's started two games in his career? I don't know. I think it's a fascinating situation. Yeah, he might get Trent Dilfer. You're right. But I just don't know. I don't know what you can do if you're the 49ers. If they go on and win a Super Bowl and they're capable of it, what do you do at that point? You just trade Jimmy? Like, I don't know. It's fascinating. And it would end up being one of the crazy offseason storylines if that comes to pass.
All right, so this is a selfish question because we brought you on a lot. I think you remember I'm a Broncos fan. So is it Hackett or Quinn? Who are the Broncos going with?
I don't know, and O'Connell's name is coming up too, the Rams offensive coordinator. I kind of assume, just because teams do the opposite of what they just did, that it's probably going to be Hackett, because, you know, Fangio didn't work out. Vance Joseph was a defensive coach. Those guys didn't work out. So what do you do next? You go offensive coach, right? And you say, well, our defense is good enough. We need off. So maybe Hackett's the answer. I don't know if that's the right thought process, but teams do it all the time. So I'd probably say right now, if I had to put money on somebody, it's probably Nathaniel Hackett, because, you know, teams just, again, you do the opposite of what you just did, and Vic Fangio and Vance Joseph before him, defensive coaches didn't work out. So you switch the page and you say, well, let's go offense instead.
You know, I was telling Scotty, I think it'd be interesting to see the Broncos give Vance Joseph another try.
Okay, stop it. Stop.
Bring him back. Let's do it.
He's having the time of his life for another time. Appreciate it.
Just one more shot.
Hey, there's so many things we could talk to you about. Frank, we appreciate your time. It's a crazy day for all of us, but thanks for carving out a moment for us, and we look forward to catching up with you again here soon.
Thanks, Frank.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it.
You got it.